Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another riveting, educational, enlightening episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. We are so grateful that you have decided to join us again. And we are so thankful for all the downloads and all the shares and comments and likes. And we are building our fan base slowly, and we're helping to reach the audience, and we're helping to share the message that we're delivering. And it's all thanks to you guys. Thank you so much for everything that you guys are doing. Thank you so much for all the hard work, because I know clicking and sharing is a lot of work. You know, you get carpal tunnel syndrome in your wrist or something like that. But I have already talked way too much. Ladies and gentlemen, the most talented imam on the East Coast, I mean, for now at least, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Peace and blessings and the mercy of Allah be with all of our listeners. I couldn't have said it any better than Carl, and that's why Carl is so instrumental when we start this show every time. His enthusiasm and his energy helps set the standard for where we're going to take off from today. So we want to welcome our listeners from across the world. Carl, do you want to give us a quick breakdown of people who are listening? We want to show our appreciation to the countries that are engaged with our podcast.
Well, I know that United States is one of our top downloads. And of course, I know over the last 2 months, 3 months that we've been doing this, I saw a country that's close to your heart.
Is that Canada?
It is.
Okay. So thank you, America. Thank you, Canada. And who else is there?
I believe that I saw Japan in there as well.
And that's the amazing part of our world and our technology today.
It is.
That I think this should serve as an encouragement to all people out there. Remember, the message is so important. Whatever you say, whatever you do, in today's world, it can go across the ocean. It could go across the Pacific, the Atlantic. It could go to places and corners and villages that you've never imagined or you'll never visit physically, but your voice could get there. So to all those out there that want to make a difference in this world, start talking, start acting, make positive vibes and words reverberate across our globes, because with today's technology, it is truly possible.
It really is. And you know, I'll tell you, and I think I might set you up for a segue here. But, you know, when I was growing up, one of the things that I used to study on was the butterfly effect, which is the simple effect that somewhere in Japan or China or over in that region, that a butterfly could flap its wings, disturbing the air around it. And those airwaves reverberate around the world to where there's a tidal wave or a tsunami or a huge wave that hits the shores on the East Coast here. So it's one of those things that with the power of the internet, the butterfly effect is a real thing.
It is. It truly is. And that's, again, goes to prove that a single drop of water, or once you just touch a little pond or a little pool, you would just monitor that effect, the ripple effect. And it's such a beautiful sight to see and how far the reach can be. On a weekly basis here on Raw Islam, we've been talking about issues that kind of intertwine with happenings within the course of the week. And some of them are political, some of them are social, some of them are, you know, in regards to economy or, you know, things that happen in society. I want us to now, knowing that Ramadan is like less than a month away.
Yes, it is. It is very, very near.
I believe, you know, as we see the closing in of the blessed month of Ramadan, I want us to focus on questions that can relate more to ourselves as a faith and question aspects of the faith to better understand the presence of faith in one's life. Because I asked a question today, Carl, online, and it's kind of picked up some traction. And the question was, what is your opinion as to where Muslims went wrong and when? So I'm going to start by asking you a simple question, Carl. Is there a problem with Islam?
Islam as a religion and as it's written in the Quran and the Hadith? No.
That exactly points out the reason this question was asked, Carl. Because when a person is asked, is there something wrong with Islam? Two images come into a mind. Either it would be the image of what Islam is perceived to be in the world today. And then the second image would be what Islam is meant to be. It's like you hear the voice of someone, like I'm sure some of the listeners who are listening, I'm confident that if they subscribe to raw Islam, then they've seen a picture of myself, right, Carl? Because you made a beautiful picture, right? You kind of put the cover picture for raw Islam. May Allah bless you and your family, Carl. It's nice. So I think they have seen my face by now, but they haven't seen yours, right?
No.
So by listening to your voice over time, they may have a preconceived notion as to what Carl looks like. But then when they do see Carl, the question is, was that Carl that we thought, or is this the real Carl? Make sense?
Yes, I understand.
So in the same fashion, Islam today has been manipulated, twisted, turned and maneuvered in so many different ways that even a Muslim, and Carl, this is not just you, it's myself also, we ask ourselves a question, is Islam a good religion? Is Islam a really good religion? Is it like, is it good? Is it okay? Is it pure? Is it right? Because that notion, that twisted notion, has superseded its original face and its original body. So I believe if that question is posed to anyone, including myself, rather, if we were to pose that question right now to ourselves, we need to answer in the negative. There is nothing wrong with Islam. Islam is pure and beautiful in its own way. The question that comes after that then is, what then is wrong with the Muslims? Because if you have a great religion and you have what you call a peaceful religion, if you have a loving religion, if you have a merciful Lord, if you have a forgiving Lord, if you have an example, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who is written as the number one human being to walk this earth, according to Mr. Hart's book, which was published, I think, in the late 70s, The 100 Most Influential Men, the question then becomes, what then is wrong with the Muslims? So that's exactly why I posed that question to you, where did the Muslims go wrong and when? Like, where do we make that detour and turn off from what Islam was supposed to be? It's a bit like the dollar and the gold standard. Like, Carl, our dollar was once upon a time reflecting the gold standard. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're 100% right. And that was, that was back in the day. Yeah,
was way back in the days, right?
Yeah, I actually saw, it's a show geared towards younger kids, like, you know, maybe in their mid to early teens. But I watched an episode, and the whole episode was about us being on the gold standard and shifting from the gold standard to the GDP standard. And yeah,
And again, that's it goes to show where we were and where we are today. And despite the fact that we are advancing, we are moving forward, we're progressing in regards to our currency, in regards to its weight, in regards to its value, we are not. Even though it may not seem that it's a problem, it actually is. Taking that as an example, Islam is progressing. Numbers are growing. Islam is flourishing. People across the spectrum, across the world, you'll find Muslims. You'll find Muslims of different colors and race and cultures from every continent on this globe. But despite the numbers that show progress, that show advancement, that show, you know, continuity with strength, there is a problem. And I am determined to say the problem isn't Islam, the problem is Muslims. And I think sometimes it's healthy to have these conversations, Carl, because if we don't ask, we will hide. And if we hide, we won't solve. And if we don't solve, then the problem will only continue to fester. And ultimately, it will become a demonic figure that you'll have no choice but to tackle. At that time, what will be the size? What will be the enormity? What will be the density of the problem? Maybe it will tackle you.
Yeah, the problem may grow beyond a point where it's manageable. And, you know, it's funny. What's coming into my head right now as you're saying this is when I was growing up, when I was a really, really young kid, mm-hmm. like some kids around a certain age, like especially young, you know, did you eat the candy bar? Did you steal the cookie? And you go, oh no, mom, I didn't do that. And my mom used to tell me, don't lie, because you lie, and then you have to tell another lie to cover that lie. And then you have to tell another lie to cover that lie. And pretty soon it becomes snowballs and it becomes a bigger issue than you can actually deal with. And you just get lost inside of it. So the point that my mom was trying to make was just don't lie. But the point you're trying to make is deal with the problem before it snowballs to that point.
Exactly. The snowball effect is exactly what we're trying to go towards. So we had a lot of answers, a lot of people engaged with that question. Now, I'm going to give you a breakdown. Some say, well, it's because evil has become rampant on the earth and it has influenced the people of good. Wrong. Islam isn't suitable in the world today. Wrong. We've lost leadership of the world and the earth. There was a khilafah at one time, the caliphate, and we lost the caliphate. Why? Okay, I'm going to put questions out there. We're going to hopefully bring it down, funnel it down. The people don't have strong belief anymore. Why? Islam is a culture. It's only a ritual. It's only a practice. Question again. Why? While people don't have strong aqidah, which means core belief. Why? You know, every answer I got, my question was why. One brother very eloquently said, you know, and he was honest in how he was trying to present his answer, that we've abandoned Allah and his messenger. We're not following what Allah tells us to do as good and follow the Prophet Muhammad as the only example, peace be upon him. But my question again then, Carl, is
why?
Why? Right? And that's the whole thing. We have to ask ourselves, why are we in this state if everything that we had was supposed to allow us to progress and be positive and be influential and be productive and be proactive and be peaceful and be people that unite others, people that build bridges, not build walls? Why is this happening? So I believe the Muslims went wrong the day we stopped focusing on ourselves and felt that it was only to focus on others. When we started projecting the laws and the ordinance and the do's and don'ts of Islam on others. For example, Carl, a father says, go pray your prayer. But the father doesn't go pray. What has he just done there?
He's made himself a hypocrite.
Well, in a sense, yes. Oh, well, that's a strong word. But he's going down the path of hypocrisy, where you can tell others to do something whilst you yourself feel that you're exempted from it. So what happened was when we stopped focusing on ourselves and we stopped introspecting and quelling the internal illnesses and ailments that are known as spiritual, we then physically deteriorated also. And by physical deterioration, it meant that we took our religion to be a culture. We stopped short of thinking that our religion is only about how much you know. It's only about how strong your core beliefs are. Our faith has core beliefs known as aqidah. Why? So with those aqidah, we can see the Quran and Sunnah in a positive light. Why? So through that positive light, we can extract a lifestyle. Why? Through that lifestyle, we can live a productive, proactive, peaceful life. Why? Through living that peaceful, proactive, productive life, we can help show others what is better. Why? Because if everyone clings on to practices and actions which are harmonious on this earth, we'll make this earth a better place. Why? Because if this earth becomes a better place, then this earth will live up to the trust that was entrusted to us by God Himself, by Allah Himself, to make sure that this world is peaceful, to make sure that everyone prospers, to make sure there's nothing harmful done. So the snowball effect started from when we went from looking at ourselves to looking at others. Now we're looking at others. See, what I just told you right now was all the perks and benefits that lead up the channel or up the ladder to the peak. So I want us to go from the ocean to the mountain. And from the ocean to the mountain for a Muslim means from going from a state of saying I'm a Muslim to understanding what it means to be a Muslim, what it entails to be a Muslim. The Quran says, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. Few villagers came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, and they said, we are believers. They said, آمَنَّا, which means we are belief, firm in our belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making their statement a verse. The Lord Allah is making their statement a verse in His book. And He says, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Tell them, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, you are not core believers, you are not firm believers, but say we have entered the faith, we have embraced Islam. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Iman, i.e. true faith, hasn't as yet penetrated into the depths of your heart. So when we go from the ocean to the mountain, we are allowing our testimony of faith, our declaration of faith, to sink in and become a part of our life. When it becomes a part of our life, we could go now from the mountain to the cave, which is learning about the essentials, duties, do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, procedures and methods of what Islam is about. If you stop halfway, you're not going to get into the cave. Now, Carl, we have continuous debates in Islam when it comes to fiqh, which is jurisprudence, the laws and the do's and don'ts. And scholars will debate this for eternity. That means they got stuck halfway. They didn't get to the top of the mountain because there's always going to be disputes and differences as to what is more preferable and not. But it's not the end of the iceberg. This is just the beginning of the journey. So Islam isn't just about knowing, it's about letting it penetrate. It's not just about allowing it to penetrate into your life, but it's about then building upon it. And whilst building upon it, it's not about knowing enough that you could dispute with another, rather that you can build with it to something more productive that you could exemplify. Once you start exemplifying, now you reach the cave. When you get into the cave, now the core practices of Islam, like prayer, salah, fasting, sawm, charity, zakat, pilgrimage, hajj, which are the four of the five pillars of Islam. The fifth one, which of course is the testimony of faith, was already the transition from the ocean to the mountain. Now it's not going to be a ritual. Think about this, Carl. as a Muslim, if you're praying five times a day in the mosque and you believe that's your Islam, you're stuck in the cave. Have you reached your destination?
No.
But some have made that the perception of Islam. And these are things that are bothering me. They disturb me. When I have these conversations with other Muslims, especially the younger ones, they agree with me that it's kind of put out there that Islam is all about how many times you come to the mosque, or how many prayers you pray, or how many fasts you keep. Do you do the Mondays and Thursdays? Do you do the 3 days a month, or do you only do the Ramadan fast? Now, I'm not trying to downplay any of these, Carl, because they are mandatory, correct?
Yes.
Five times prayer is mandatory.
Yes.
30 days of Ramadan is mandatory.
Yes.
Monday or Thursdays are voluntary. 3 days a month are voluntary, yeah. But they're emphasized. And of course, there's many health benefits to it, which inshallah, God willing, we're going to get into this as the season of Ramadan closes in. And Carl, I think you're going to share a good article with our listeners soon.
Yes.
But when we dispute in the religion, something which is already in the religion, we're losing the essence of the faith. So just as the villagers would have lost the essence of faith by assuming, by mere declaration of faith, they've done it all, Allah said, no, climb the ladder. In a similar fashion, by disputing our differences, that's not the end of the road. We need to understand that there's much more ahead. Two companions had a difference. One of them was reciting the Quran, Carl, and he recited it differently than another companion. So the other companion abruptly said to him, you're wrong. The companion said, no, I'm not. You read. So he read, and upon his conclusion, the first companion said, you're wrong. He said, no, I'm not. Who did you learn from? He said, I learned from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him. He goes, who did you learn from? He goes, I too learned from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him. Okay, let's go to him. So they went to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he said, okay, read. One of them read. He said, you're correct. He said to the next one, read. He read. He said, you too are correct. Now, there's a lot that could be said in regards to this hadith, this quote, this saying, but what it truly shows and exemplifies is that don't get caught up on the differences. Don't get caught up, so long it's part of the religion, don't get caught up there. Don't live your eternal life. Don't live the full extent of your life. Of course, we're not living eternal here. We're mortal, right?
Alhamdulillah.
What are we? Carl, what are you? Are you mortal or immortal?
I am immortal. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say immortal.
No.
We're all mortal. We're going to die. So whatever our life is, get beyond it, because you're presenting a false perception and a false image that's making others feel that's Islam. Move beyond that now, Carl. We're now talking about practices. So long we're conducting the practices and we're doing them to the T, like we're dotting our I's, we're crossing our T's, we're doing everything to the point, and we start showing people, this is Islam, pray or you're not going to be a Muslim, fast or you're not a Muslim. Yes, again, it is compulsory, it's mandatory, but is that the end of the tunnel? No, that is actually the cave. We need to get to the peak of the mountain, Carl, because what's the beauty of the peak, Carl? If you were to reach the peak of a mountain, what would be your feeling?
So as somebody that was raised in the Northeast, up around the, I was actually raised in the foothills of the highest peak on the Northeast coast, which is Mount Washington. I will tell you that there is a level of, when you hit the peak of those mountains, you feel a sense of accomplishment within yourself, but the best part about the completion of the journey is the beauty that surrounds.
That's it. You hit it, Carl. The beauty that surrounds, regardless how big or small the mountain or the hill may be, the second you hit the top of it, the world is around you and you see much more than you would have ever imagined. And that feeling is tremendous. Now, if we were, I'm going to keep on backtracking here because I want to solidify these points. If we were stuck on believing that we're a Muslim merely by declaring it, we couldn't have moved forward. By declaring it, if we got caught up in the do's and don'ts and the differences in the do's and don'ts, we wouldn't have seen it. If we got caught up in the practices alone, the mandatory practices, and assumed that to be the peak, we wouldn't have seen it. What's the peak now, Carl? And that's the answer I want to bring forth on this podcast, on this show today, is that when you proclaim the oneness of God and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger, and you allow that to sink in, you submit yourself to the will of your Lord, and you accept that the path that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, showed you as a guide is the best ever. There's nothing comparison to it. Now you climb the ladder. So while you accept the path you've taken and you chose, or you selected the path, now on that path, knowledge, aqidah, beliefs will only continue to allow you to see your shortcomings. It will allow you to see your ignorance. It will allow you to see your weakness. It will allow you to see how you are nothing. And then by prayer and fasting and charity, those will fill those voids with light, because the knowledge of prayer is only beneficial if prayer is conducted. The benefits of prayer is only reaped if a person performs one's prayer. What use is it to read a book on swimming if you never jump into a swimming pool? So now you've jumped in, you've immersed yourself into this body of water in a similar fashion. Once through knowledge, you make the foundation space, prayer, charity, fasting, and pilgrimage will fill it in with light. Now that light will allow you to excel to the peak of the mountain where everyone will be able to see you. When you say something or you scream something, it will echo in the valleys between the mountains. At that time, your body, your actions, your words, not your body, but your demeanor will exemplify goodness that the world will ask you. There's something about you that I want to know. And that's exactly what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "Bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq." I have been sent, i.e. the core purpose of my mission is what? To tell people to convert to Islam or die? Was it to learn the tenets of the faith or you're going to be an infidel? Was it to pray 5 times without missing the first row or you're not going to be a true believer? No, because through this channel, from the ocean to the mountain, from the mountain to the cave, from the cave to the peak, I have been sent for the perfection of moral conduct. That when you become a better person, through this process, what ultimately happens, Carl, is that you bring about goodness. When that goodness comes about, who will not want to have that goodness? It's like a perfume. Anyone who walks by with something new, it turns heads, and a person is compelled to ask, "What are you wearing?" Yes or no, Carl?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
It's like, what's that smell? It's new. It's from Gucci, or it's from, it's from Tom Ford. It's something new. And you're like, I want to get my hands on it. And it could be as expensive as Tom Ford, $200, $300, $400, $500. But it smells good enough that you're sold. You'll say, you know what? I'll even save up for it. Why? Because I'm sold on the smell alone. I haven't seen the physical bottle. I haven't touched the perfume itself, but I'm sold just on its aroma. So the essence of a perfume isn't the bottle, isn't the liquid, it's its aroma. In a similar fashion, the essence of a Muslim isn't the way they proclaim the faith or how they pray or how they look. It's how the essence of the faith is our actions, our demeanor. So why did I ask that question? Because I'm so confused, Carl, when I see so much happening. I try to understand, where have we gone wrong? And we've gone wrong when we stopped reflecting on ourselves and started imposing it on others and feeling that others are in need of it. I don't need it because I already have it. You can't have it unless you climb the ladder and go through that process. So we lost the khilafa, we lost power, or we lost the rule when we couldn't bring anything good to the table that would exemplify for people to say, you know what? That is something we want to continue to follow. Because remember, Khilafah was both for the Muslims and the non-Muslims. Non-Muslims are equally involved. It's like a party running a country. We right now have the Republican Party. So they are running the country basically in a similar fashion. Everyone, even Democrats, are included within the protection and the governance body of the Republican president. They are not exempted only because they have a different party affiliation. In a similar fashion, under Islam, everyone lived in harmony and they willingly accepted what was being brought to the table because something was being brought to the table.
Table, yeah.
And what are Muslims bringing to the table today? This is a question I want to end with to all my fellow listeners. As Ramadan approaches, we need to start asking ourselves, what am I bringing to the table of this world? Because remember, the opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of peace isn't war. The opposite of good isn't bad. Good, bad, love, hate, peace, war, are entities of their own. They are a creation of their own. One doesn't come only because of the absence of the other. Rather, they are equally on a tennis court and they're playing for the game. So if we're not bringing forth goodness, we're allowing evil to win. If we're not bringing about love, actively bringing forth love, we're allowing hate to overpower and win. If we're not actively promoting peace and goodness, not through our words, not through papers, not through emails, rather through our demeanor, then we're allowing war and hate and fear and evilness to spread. So Ramadan is about cleaning up oneself. It's another level of introspection and internal cleansing and internal purification. As that month comes around, as it soon will, we will be talking more in depth as to what plans we need to make in order to, number one, identify, number two, clean out, number three, fill in that void before the month ends. So for that, there is no problem with Islam. The problem is with myself. So when I myself as a Muslim fix myself, then inshallah, I will realign myself with what is known to be Islam.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
I have so many thoughts that mm-hmm. I don't really know where to start. Because I know this is raw Islam with Imam Azhar, not raw Islam with BC Dodge. But as kind of a therapeutic moment for myself, I'm going to make this podcast go long. Because when I converted to Islam, there was a handful of reasons, but one of the main reasons I converted was the simplicity and the totality of it.
Uh-huh.
There was no question. There was prayers, rules, and instructions for waking up,
uh-huh.
using the restroom,
uh-huh.
eating, kneading, greeting, sleeping,
uh-huh.
and repeating. And to me, it wasn't so much, and I still get hung up on it sometimes, is I don't look at it as a religion. It's a instruction on how to live your life.
Uh-huh.
And I remember when I converted, I'm like, this is simplicity. This is totality. Everything is here. And it's a blessing from Allah. It's a blessing from God. And I remember the first time I went to the mosque to pray. And I will tell you that I had never prayed in a Jummah fashion. I had never prayed in a mosque. I had never prayed with other people. This was literally the very first time I went, and I had trained myself off of videos and flashcards that I made and the whole nine yards. And as soon as we finished praying, as soon as it was done, the guy beside me hits me in the arm and he goes, "Where did you learn to pray like that? That is not how you pray. You're doing it all wrong." And from there, rather than gently correcting me or introducing himself or something like that, he started to tell me that I was wrong, and then he walked off. But he never told me what was right. Never gently corrected me like you would with a child.
Exactly.
And from there, it just, I don't want to say it continuously got worse, but it did. One time, brother, why are the cuffs of your pants touching your ankles? Roll those up. That's not how you pray. And I'm like, wow, you guys are so caught up in what I'm wearing that you're totally missing why we're here and what the imam is saying.
Exactly. And that's the ironic part, Carl, that we got caught up on others instead of ourselves. We got caught up on small things and lost focus on the bigger picture. And that needs to change, because if we don't change that, we are misrepresenting Islam. And that is exactly why you had, and many others have had hesitation when asked the simple question, is Islam wrong? Or is there anything wrong with Islam?
No.
So, Carl, I think we have a lot of work to do, and that's what we want to do. And we want our Muslim community, that are our followers and listeners, to actively tune in and engage. As much as we're out there to correct the misconceptions on Islam with our non-Muslim community brothers and sisters, we are equally determined and focused upon those misconceptions which are confusing Islam for Muslims as well. So this is an effort that we are dedicated towards doing from both ends, and we hope and pray that the Almighty Allah allows us to better the current state of affairs for ourselves and, of course, entire humanity, and allows us to restore goodness and good conduct and love and harmony on our world.
Inshallah. Ameen.
Inshallah.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have reached the close of another episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. I want to thank everybody for once again downloading and listening and commenting and liking. And, you know, I think my personal homework this week is going to learn how to say hello and goodbye in Japanese, because if we're getting downloads there, we'll obviously assalamu alaikum, but you know, I want to learn to say so that I can communicate with our listeners in Japan. So there you go.
That's beautiful.
That's my personal homework this week. And that does bring us to the end of the episode. So until next time, we will say thank you, Imam Mazhar, for taking time out of your day to join us. And to all our listeners, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
The terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.